Hey, it's NBK, and you're here listening to The Central Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome. Welcome back to another edition of The Central Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, episode 161, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location, the date June 10th, 2019, the time 8:34 p.m. Central Standard Time. I do not think we ever started this close to being on time ever, so mark it down. Today will be the best episode ever. Not only has Anuj and I gotten a fair amount of sleep and feel much better compared to last week, we both felt pretty darn rough. But we got E3 happening. So we will discuss some E3 takes. Not just esports, you know, we are gamers after all. We are gamers. So we will talk some E3. Middle of the show, we are going to talk about the fall of Optic Gaming, as I believe it's official enough that they have officially been sold off to Immortal, so we will finally discuss that. And to start the show, we will have ECS Final Season 7 and kind of recap what happened there in the CSGO world. But before we do that, be sure and follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring, if you don't do so already. Would appreciate it. You can join our Discord. The link is on our profile there. Be part of that conversation. And if you like the show enough to go out of your way and leave a review on iTunes or whatever preferred way that you listen, it'd be much appreciated. Unless you're the guy who gave us a 3-star on iTunes, then it's like...
Just ignore. Bro, why? Why are you wasting your time? Like,
come on. Come on, what did we do to you? Either way, though, we do appreciate it. Let's introduce everyone. Hello, my name is Tim. I will be your host into this journey into esports. And alongside me, as always, is my best bud, my brown bud. It's Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
Hey, friend. How are you?
Good, good. Feeling better?
I'm feeling so much better, man. I really feel bad just the way I was last year. I felt dead, so... 100 times better, ready to go today. A lot of fun stuff to talk about today, so
pumped. There's a lot to get to, and I'm with you. Last week, I didn't realize it until the show started that like I was still on DreamHack mode, and I was just so dang tired. And I didn't like right away in the intro. I felt it. I was like, oh,
here we go.
Maybe could have skipped this week. Maybe should have skipped this week. But I'm glad we didn't, because you're right. We have so much to get to on this episode. There's no way we could have. Rightfully, no. Talked about DreamHack and everything like that, and get to everything that happened, which is crazy because we did a show on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that so much has happened and it's really been less than normal is crazy. My house is still a mess. If you're watching on Twitch, we got Doug in the chat, Jazzy Josh in the chat. What is up? Josh saying that he's never been able to make the pre-show talk before. Which, by the way, we do stream on Twitch, and if you ever want to be entertained, we do typically BS quite a bit in pre-show and after-show, the post-show. So that's normally where we're not as PG, not as family-friendly, I guess you could say. But so you can always find that on Twitch. Just look up The Center Ring. But you'll also see that my office is just an absolute, looks like a bomb went off. So not only was my house a mess for a week last week because of DreamHack, well, now this week, we're going through a kitchen remodel. So it's like we had to pull everything out of the cabinets, including the bathrooms, because we're getting those painted as well. So it's just, we're getting granite put in. Looks lovely, by the way. But so now it's like for 2 weeks straight, my house is just a war zone. And I mean, you know me, Anuj. Like, I like things...
driving you crazy.
I like things a particular way. Let's just, you know, some medical professionals might say OCD. You know, I'm particular about the way I like my stuff. And the fact that it's a mess drives me nuts. But, you know, I have a pregnant wife. We're expecting in September 1st to be exact. And I think she's hit that nesting stage. So unfortunately for me, like most people are like, oh my God, she's just going to clean so much. Your wife is going to clean. And she's like, kitchen remodel. I'm like, babe, we got a baby on the way. You're like full buying on an eco round right now. Like, what are you doing? Like,
doubling down.
Baby's on the way.
Oh, man.
$7,000 kitchen remodel. You know, maybe not the best timing, but you know, who am I to say no? Let's do it. So that's my life right now. That is my life. Let's get into the discussion though here. So I guess what are we starting off with first? I said ECS.
ECS.
So the ECS finals did wrap up season 7. As I said, it really did sneak up on me between this and where next week you have ECL finals.
ESL, yeah.
I don't know if it's just the way the seasons were this year or whatnot, but they really did. I mean, I watched them. I paid attention.
The seasons flew by. It was just like more like in passing, though, than I feel like it has been in times past. And almost, I don't know. I mean, they've changed the formatting as well, right? Like with all of it being on LAN. So I thought I would actually catch more of it, but it's just kind of, it really has. It's just gone by, man. And here we are with the ECS finals and then the ESL finals coming up.
Yeah, and ECS this year was in London. Is it always in London? I feel like, no. I'm an idiot. No. We went to one here in Dallas, like, not that long ago. I'll delete it. I'll delete it in post. They won't ever know. Yeah, we definitely went. I don't know why I always thought it was in London. This year, you did have some big teams there. You had MIBR, NIP, Complexity, Astralis, NRG.
Astralis?
This isn't a Blast Pro Series. What are you talking about?
That's good to see them there. Glad they attended.
North, which seems to always qualify for these playoffs in the season.
Yeah.
Can't do anything else in any other tournament, but by God, they are money when it comes to getting to the playoffs.
Yeah. God forbid they advance in a major somewhere, but yeah, come down to these season play and they do well. They hold their own.
And Furia and Team Vitality. Do you want to just go from the bottom up? I mean, it's only 8 teams.
Yeah. You know, and the most surprising one, I think, out of all of them, because, again, MIBR, one of those situations where they came in, I think they were starting to feel a little bit better. You know, you have Coldzera performing at a high level to kind of start off the tournament, and another bond from them. You know, they are having a tough time pulling wins together, especially when you go 0-2 in your bracket in games that were very winnable. But losing to Complexity definitely hurts, I think, in that situation. And then the North game, that was the ones where we had some tremendous matchups between Coldzera and the way Valde and them were playing. Where I think Coldzera had a 40 bomb in that game. And they still found a way to lose in overtime. So for them, not a whole lot is working out. Did you see the coach for Complexity? What happened in their match?
I did not.
He pointed on the screen. So there was like a crucial round. I believe it was 13-13 on Mirage. Phelps was boosted onto like near window in mid.
Right.
And the player on his team, Ricke, was looking in that direction and didn't see him. And he was like odd. It was like by himself. Ricke was top mid. Boosted. Mirage. So right in mid of Mirage.
Okay, yeah.
Well, Warden walks up to him on his screen and points at where he's at on the screen because Ricke like completely just didn't see him in the middle of his screen. And so he did get a violation for that afterwards. They didn't call it out during the match, but that actually would have been a point deduction. So they would have lost the round, they ended up winning the round and taking that 16-13 or 16-14.
And so what happened there? Just the admin, the ref didn't see it or?
Didn't catch it. It was reported afterwards. So they said it afterwards and didn't penalize him at that moment.
Right, because for those who maybe not have known, coaches, and this is kind of like a change in the last 2 or 3 years. If only Brett was here, he could tell you the whole history of the coaching rule, because it wasn't a bit, but he definitely asked every coach that we ever interviewed, what do you think about this new coaching rule 3 years after,
like,
the change?
After the fact.
And like, all of them were like, well, you know, we'll live with it. I don't know, dude, that was like 3 years ago. Rest in peace, Brett. But they can't communicate with the players during the match. That you have timeouts. Yeah. I think some tournaments allow in between rounds, but definitely not during the match. So that's crazy then that they got away with it.
literally walked up to the screen and like pointed right where he was. He said his team was calling it out and he still didn't notice. And he said it was just like instinct to point at him, like, oh my gosh, he's like right there type thing. He apologized though, and he's a good-hearted person. We've had the chance of meeting him very briefly.
Well, of course, he's going to admit it now, but... though, because it's over. Like, they can't take away the point now. Yeah,
I generally don't think it was like an intentional thing, but based on the reaction from players and players within the community, it sounds like, you know, coaches are generally yelling something, just not blatantly like walking up or pointing at it and things.
Well, you know, but that it's a shame because you don't get this very often in esports where it's like a penalty can actually happen, right? Yeah. We discussed it the one time, was it Fort Worth? One of the CWL events this year just happened where, you know, the glitch happened in the game and rewarded it against FaZe, right?
Yeah, it was the overpass boost.
Right, yeah. And, well, in Call of Duty, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, where, Call of Duty. They sorry, came,
yeah, in the CWL, where it's like, yeah, they captured the... Either way,
you're
there
talking
was
about the timer.
Happened. Yes, yeah, the timer was goofy. And it's like, you, so it actually went to a ref's decision. Like, how often does that happen in esports? And to have this happen here, and then they miss it. It's like, dude, come on.
Yeah. No, I feel you. It's one of those situations are definitely tough, and actually, Douglas is right. It was pointed out on Twitter by... a CSGO insider, whatever you want to call it, Don Hossie, troll, same thing. But he's a good follow if you don't follow him. But yeah, he pointed it out, but it did end up getting back to the league. The league ended up talking to him. He apologized.
I mean, basically, what can you do after the fact? I mean, it'd be dirty by the league to be like, well, you pointed at this like 3 matches ago. we're going to have to do something. And you know what?
MLBR ended up tying with
both teams ended up not qualifying, so
yeah, they didn't make it. Nip ended up being at 7.
If you're MIB, if you're MIBR, and it came down to that one instant, something went wrong way beforehand, anyways. Because MIBR should beat Complexity any day of the week.
Dude, they were up like 14-3 on North and ended up losing 25-23 or something. So they had plenty of other issues throughout the tournament, caused them to tie for last place with NIP. Astralis coming in and tied for fifth and sixth again. You know, is this part of the not staying active, right? And finding yourself in
rust
these
on
ones.
Them
for sure. But now, like, they can't afford to lose these tournaments when you're just not playing in as many. And that was one of the biggest issues that people were mm-hmm. having is like, you're overly confident thinking that you're going to win every tournament that you attend. And now you're losing these Blast Pro ones. You basically got fifth, sixth here. So, do we see them turn it around? I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. So you see, it's funny because we've seen this happen to other teams in the past. Not so much the whole stopped going to events and then dropping off, but definitely becoming like a top team, number one in the world. Their organization just throws anything they want at them, sign big contracts, and then the team drops off. You know, I'm thinking in this exact moment, Virtus Pro. Like, we yeah. saw this happen to Virtus Pro and CSGO. Those guys were top of the world, the Virtus Plow, right? That was the team's nickname. No one could stop them. And then they signed big contracts. The Taft got a, not Taft. What's his name?
Paz? Taz? Who are you talking about?
Taz. Leo? Taz.
Okay, yeah.
Taft is our buddy that is not on Virtus Pro. Taz was bought like a Mercedes-Benz SUV or something crazy like that. And then all of a sudden you see them drop off immediately.
Difference here is they were also much closer to the end of their career, right? Those guys were all in their late 20s at that point. Some of them even in their 30s.
Yeah, there are many factors that go into both of these. But
I see where you're coming from. Like, are they getting too big for themselves, right? Like, is getting too big hurting them? And I think that's where the true answer is, or at least the question lies, is, you know, it's almost like an NFL season, not playing the last 2 games of the year before you get into the playoffs. And you see those teams sometimes tend to struggle with rust. And for them, I think all they're looking at is majors, and that's all they're grading themselves on at this point.
Right.
Almost think like Tiger at the end of his career, Nadal, Federer, these types of players or teams.
Right.
So we're still going to only grade them on the major until they lose one, right? When they lose one, this is where I think that this conversation can take a negative turn, but it doesn't look good. Like, they're not going to get their first place ranking back with these kinds of performances.
No, I truly believe that they don't care about the first number one rank. I don't think they do. Cause like you mentioned, I think they're all about the majors. And as long as when they are in the tournament with Liquid and Na'Vi and these teams that, even though Na'Vi is not number three anymore, but we'll get to that in a moment. You know, if they can continue beating those teams, I feel like in their head, they're like, you know what? Then we're good when it comes to the majors and we're good when it matters. Yeah. So we'll see.
I got you.
We'll see there.
The Complexity was a good surprise this tournament. They had their new fifth on the team. They had OBO, the 15-year-old. He won, you know, FPL, I think twice possibly, but or like the rankings for it. He had been promoted up. What a surprise. I mean, this was like, this reminded me very much so of Rops on Mouse Sports. Rops obviously wasn't as young, but he was, again, an up-and-comer from FPL that had kind of worked his way through the ranks and given an opportunity on a team. This kid shined this tournament. I don't have his stats up in front of me, but he had a great rating. He had over a 1.1 rating, looked really good, carried the team in several instances. So really exciting to see a young player for Complexity, because I think that's how they're going to have to grow that team, is through the younger ranks. I think it's still going to be a little difficult for them to go out and nab the top-tier NA talent off of the current teams that they're on. Like, they would have to get somebody that I think is dropped instead of throwing a couple hundred grand to go pick up someone. So
they're just not the team to do that.
No, they're not. They're not. And so the route that they're going, they have to hit on a couple of players like this. And what a, you know, great start for them, because this kid really looked fantastic and, you know, performing in his first major LAN in Europe on the big stage, did well. So, I mean, good for him and proud for that organization.
NRG is still continuing to show improvements with their newer roster and Tarek on the team, coming in third and fourth, along with North.
I wasn't as impressed with NRG. I thought they let this one slip away. I didn't like the way Tarek played in several instances. I thought he had a tough tournament. It doesn't feel like he's gelling as well as I'd hope he would be by this point. They're performing well, but they're getting beat in bad ways. And so I don't know if that really makes as much sense, but wasn't overly impressed with their performance, especially when Ethan is also not playing at a top tier level. Like, you can't have both of them struggling, and both of them in my mind have struggled a little bit there. On the flip side, North, with the same result as NRG, I thought played really well. I thought they had a fantastic tournament for them to get, you know, put themselves in that position. It wasn't a team I had high expectations for. So I think their outcome in that same ranking means more than where NRG ended up being.
And then, man, talk about the bell of the ball for this tournament. I mean, really, it's
back
to
back, couple tournaments now.
Well, it's funny because the top two teams in this tournament, Vitality and Furia, are normally like bell of the balls for either one of the tournaments that each of them are in. And if either of them made the finals, they would have been the crowd favorite, right? Viewers favorite. This one was a little different because you did have a guy from the UK playing in the final. So obviously Vitality is going to be the crowd favorite, but I digress. These were not the two teams that you expected to be in the finals, I think, going into it. Vitality, maybe I could buy if you were really serious about that prediction, but surely not Furia. Surely. Well,
Furia just came off the third place performance at DreamHack Masters, right? So
right.
They just at least had a good showing. They had actually beaten, I believe, Vitality 2-0 in that tournament in one of their rounds, I believe it was. But yeah, both of these teams have really been hot recently and kind of surprising at the same time. The change, which ended up being fantastic for Vitality, is NBK stepping out of the calling role and Alex taking over. Congrats to Alex, by the way, the dude's from Britain. So this was huge for him and great for it to be in his home country. So congratulations there. But they were playing well. Fury, I think, is still the more surprise team here because it's a bunch of young, you know, no-namers in the sense they're making names for themselves right in front of us. They got called out recently by Fallen saying they're, you know, still not nearly as good of a team as we are, and we'll get into the rankings here in a moment, but that should shut him up pretty quick.
Yeah, right? But, I guess he said that pre-tournament.
He did. And so...
Was he... What was the tone, though? Was it in text?
I think it might have been mid-tournament he said it. He was questioned, I think, after they got eliminated.
That's interesting to come from a guy like Fallen, because normally he's so supportive
he was being supportive. He was just saying they're not at that level yet. They still have a lot more. That's, like,
room yeah, I want to know the tone that he said.
They're not
in.
Like there. It wasn't like, hey, they're not as good as us. It was just, it was that. But
they
it,
are.
It,
they meant did. They are keeping to CS:GO code though, where there always has to be a Brazilian at the top of the rankings. Always. There can't be a Brazilian team out of the top five ever.
This team will now need to find a way to evolve. That's what's going to be important for Fury. They have this incredibly aggressive play style. As teams get comfortable and used to seeing that play style, this is where we'll learn how good they are, like what kind of adjustments they make. Because even Vitality, after seeing them one time here recently, you could tell they knew how to play. They were prepared for that play style and really dominated that finals. It was a really underwhelming finals from Furious standpoint, because they really just got blown away on both maps, especially Overpass, where Zywoo completely took over. And you know, let's get to them real quick so we can just talk about Vitality for a moment. These guys are coming off back-to-back wins now. They've pushed themselves into the top five of the rankings. Zywoo, I mentioned this probably 20 episodes ago when we were talking about this upcoming season, is, and I'm not the only one that said this, but I felt he would be a top five, if not higher, level player this year. And he's already there, man. The guy is completely insane, was a monster in this tournament. Again, I really should have these rankings up. He had a 1.41 rating in this tournament, which is an incredible rating across 10 maps. So, what a fantastic opera. He plays well on the rifle, similar to Cirque from NRG, in the sense of handles both weapons really well. And he had a monster performance, showed up again in the finals and put the team on his back. He had a 4-0 ratio at one point in the finals matches. So they are a team to be reckoned with if they continue on this path, and a team that you just see gaining so much traction after such a lousy start to that, French group. They're the ones that stand out. And to think that the best French team is Shoxless and Kenny S-less is really, that's saying something for the French scene. They've got a lot of deep talent there right now.
Well, I think it's also saying that, for the longest time, the French scene was a rotating doors of the same players, but different combination. Yeah. And for the longest time, people were like, well, what's the problem? What's the problem? And Kenny S was kind of always a diva. Shox was always a diva, it seemed like. And so that's kind of where Vitality spawned from, right? They kind of took those guys that were like, we're done. Like, we're going to go make our own team. We're not going to keep doing this rotating door of players between, at the time, Envy and G2. We're going to do our own thing. And it's nice to see French Counter-Strike back for now. I mean, Vitality's kind of always been coming back up on the rise. I think you can slowly see that this has been going to happen, but for now, it's back.
Hey, look, you hit on two of your young stars, Zywoo and Alex, and both of them are right now performing as your best players. So they made the right moves for sure. It's looking good.
And real quick, I just want to address this before we get into the next topic. Looking at world rankings on HLTV, number one is Liquid, number two is Astralis, and number three is Ents. Then you have, this is where it just blows my mind, if you're looking at top 10.
Ents is still pretty crazy to be at three.
This is true. So even, I guess you're right.
It's not even like...
All right, yeah, call me out on Ents. That, because you are correct. I've just gotten used to it, right? Easy for Ents, but you are correct. Then you have Vitality. Furia jumped up six spots. That's what, top three finishes on back-to-back tournaments will do for you on big levels too, right?
Yeah.
Then you have FaZe at number six, NRG at seven, Fnatic at 10. Oh, I'm sorry.
Eight.
Fnatic at eight. Yeah. I don't know how to count. North at nine, Na'Vi at 10. That leaves MIBR out of the top 10.
MIBR, NIP, G2, Mouse Sports. I mean, Cloud9, Big. These are all teams that we were watching in the major, are not in the top 10. And so a lot of disparity within, I mean, it's just crazy. It's really crazy. We're seeing talent kind of show up from every which direction, it feels like, in Counter-Strike. And it's fantastic. I'm loving it. It's good. It's going to help these teams hopefully step up. Right. So, even Na'Vi seeing them at 10 is just a little mind blowing to me. And Na'Vi obviously now with their new fifth also. So it's going to be fun to see. What do we got? We got ESL coming up. So
Yeah.
Doesn't have all of these teams in there. Obviously, I know like teams like Vitality and Ench are not in the Pro League finals, but still a lot of good teams in that tournament. And that'll be a fun one to watch next week. Next week or week after.
I think it's next week. I think it starts like Wednesday of next week. So we'll even be able to talk about that a little bit on next week's episode before it all happens. Maybe do a little bit of a preview, if you will. But that's it for the ECS Finals Season 7. Exciting finals. I'm not a huge fan of the new league format. I still wish ECS would get like the first and second half of the year, and then ESL would get, you know, like split it, right? You take the first half of the year, we'll take the second half of the year. We don't need to double up, but you know, obviously for reasons, that's not the case. Let's get into here. I'm just reading Twitch chat here. Doug says someone was saying Fury is less than a year removed from losing a like Fragdalfia for attorney. I mean, it's true. I mean, like I said, for people into the scene, like really into that tier two, tier three team, I guess Fury has been coming up, but please do not tell me that you were expecting this.
Yeah. I mean, they were an MDL team like a year ago. So it's, you know, they've really risen through the ranks quickly to go from being in Mountain Dew League to being top five in the world is insane, and the amount of time they've done it in.
I want to get involved here real quick on the next topic, because this has been one that we have really had in our holster for a long time, Anuj. We've teased it like almost every episode, I feel like, for the last 2 months. And that is the fall of Optic Gaming as Infinite Esports was destined to be sold, as reports were that they were losing upwards to $1 million. Was it a week? A day?
A month, I think.
A month? Yeah. A month. Ridiculous. Might as well have been a day. I mean, you're losing $1 million a month. Like, how does that even happen? And we'll get into that in a moment. But just to kind of break down, Anuj, on how we got here, let me pull up my notes here. I have them on my phone. Hold, please. All right. So, to kind of paint a picture for our listeners. All right. This started, I think, about 2017, probably like 2 years ago, when Hex, the original owner of Optic, decided, I just want a break. I want to step away from the scene, enjoy time with my family, fish, do whatever it is that Hex does. You know, tell podcasts he'll come on, but then never come on, even though he's got all the free time in the world because he sold his team. Stuff like that, right? So that was about 2 years ago, and that's where Texas Esports, Infinite Esports, got involved. Now, I know there will be a listener on Twitter later this week correcting me on, well, Texas Esports is technically the holding investment company, and then Infinite Esports is this and that. I don't really care, all right? Take your MBA and do something else with it. I don't care about the logistics and what's what. It's all interchangeable for the sake of our conversation. All right. Texas Esports, Infinite Esports, they're all the same for the sake of this story. So Hex is like, all right, well, I want to get investors on so that way I don't have to do everything. And then I can take a break. Optic J, who at the time was like the right hand man, second owner of Optic, was going to take over Hex's role as Hex stepped away. So Texas Esports becomes majority owner of Optic. Hex says, all right, Jay, I leave this to you. I'll be back. I don't think there was really ever a set time period. It wasn't like, hey, I'm just going to go on like a 2 week vacation and I'll come back and we'll be good. He just said, hey, I'm stepping away. I'm going to kind of just focus on content creator and just do my thing. Well, within that time period, everything just goes to hell. Mismanagement of money, whatever story you want to believe, Optic J throwing everyone under the bus, getting greedy. It basically brings us to where we are today, where Hex tried coming back when he heard that things were going rough. Well, at that point, Infinite Esports were pretty much partnered with Optic J at this point, because they were like, no, dude, you were gone. Like, who are you? You sold us the majority share, then peaced out. You can't just come back in and act like you're some decision maker board member. Like, we've already Like, the ship's out to sea at this point. We can't just turn it around. And through a handful of poor investment choices and whatever happened in the background, losing $1 million a month, and now they have officially sold to Immortals Gaming, which, by the way, it's not just like Immortals Gaming. It's their investors are ridiculous. It's like Lionsgate Studio, the movie studio, and a handful of other ridiculous investors that were involved there.
Yeah.
So I know up front and on Reddit and everything, it always seemed like Hex was like, it was always like, ooh, it's a race between Immortals and Hex. Who will get Optic back? I think now that the curtain's been a little bit pulled back, we've learned Hex was never getting Optic back. Ever. He was never going to beat out the likes of the investors and everything that Immortals had on their side. We can get through it into the discussion, Anuj, but what are your initial thoughts of all of this?
You know, sad to a certain extent, because Optic has been is such a staple. Now, one thing that's important to note is we're not losing the Optic brand altogether. Correct. Right? Correct. Like, they're not gonna be dumb and buy this for $45 million and be like, Thanos, gone. Like, peace out, Optic. It's like, that's just not their plan. Now, their plan is to remove them from some of the leagues, right? Like, they're not going to be in LCS this next coming season.
Well, that was the whole reason. That was really the driving factor on why Immortals wanted it, because Immortals wanted the Immortals brand back in LCS.
Yeah, and so they'll get that. They're going to keep Optic and COD, right? Like, you're not going to take the Optic brand out of Call of Duty. There's just no way. But with the whole franchising situation coming up, that might have already been happening anyway. And if they know that, it makes even more sense to kind of, you know, bring them in now. So we're not going to lose Optic altogether. But my initial thoughts are it's just disappointing to see where it's kind of gone, right? Like, I've always thought of Optic as half gaming and like half content creation. I think they went a little overboard with the content creation piece and investing in all these individuals. And that's where they really started to lose money, because that investment on return, you know, it isn't working out, obviously. At the end of the day, I've always enjoyed Hex as an owner. I think that's where a lot of, you know, my personal attachment to this team is I think Hex is a really good figure within esports. He's done a lot. He really helps promote it. He might have made some bad financial decisions and some, you know, regret some of the decisions that he's made with Optic now. But I hope we don't see this as him no longer being in the scene, and that's what I would kind of take away from it, because I don't see the brand again just disappearing. It's gonna evolve a little bit, and I'm okay with that. I don't care that much, you know.
Well, you know, I think it's also important. I mean, one thing that you said, Anuj, it's Optic is not going away. I know we jokingly have in the title of this episode, like, rest in peace, Optic. It's kind of a tongue in cheek, because it's you're right. Optic, for those who maybe not know, we get new listeners all the time and not necessarily are into esports. Optic was the New York Yankees as far as brand recognizability. Yeah. Is that a word?
Visibility, recognizability, whatever.
It is now. As far as in esports goes, like, you saw the Optic logo, you knew exactly what that was. Even if you weren't a huge fan of their content creation or Call of Duty, which is really where they got their start, was on the console scene. And so for how quickly, that's what shocks me, right? Is how quickly it just went on a downward spiral the second Hex stepped away. And you saw, I mean, next week, I'll do a little forward tease, as they call it in the biz. Next week, we're going to talk about the esports bubble and overcorrection and, you know, is esports doomed to fail eventually? We're going to talk about that next week. But the first time you saw that happen in esports, really on a large scale, was Optic, was Infinite Esports, when they, you know, cut the Halo team. There were even talks of selling the Call of Duty team, which is, I mean, nuts to think about. And then you even have, you know, where they cut a lot of their streaming team, a lot of their content creation team on YouTube. And that's where everyone was like, oh, like, something's not right here, right? To downsize as quickly as they are downsizing. I think that's insane. Now, you know, I don't want... I was going to get into my theories on what we'll see in the future. But do we want to stay on topic first and just discuss the sell, the sale of the teams?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We could probably even give them a whole freaking episode.
That's what I'm saying, dude. Like, first off, let's start with the price. All right. It's said that Immortals paid upwards to anywhere of around $35 to $45 million, as I believe I saw the report on ESPN. Yeah. To me, that's nuts. Like, the fact that Optic, which is really what they're buying here, all right? Let's not get it twisted. You're buying Infinite Esports or whatever, but you're getting Optic. That's the whole thing. To sell for that cheap, like, I think that's a really cheap price. But again, with the amount of debt and crap that they're probably bringing on at the same time, doesn't help anything.
Well, the debt, they can relieve a lot of that pretty soon for the simple fact if you could just cut a lot of the creators, and you know, there's a lot of payroll that they're probably going to let go of, right? So they can stop a lot of the bleeding, I feel like, fairly quickly. I think why I'm shocked it's so cheap is for all these league slots that Optic has, right? Like, how much those have to be worth, whether you count Counter-Strike's pro leagues, right? Like being in ECS and ESL. Right. You think of Houston Outlaws, how much are those teams now going for? They got an original buy-in at $20 million, right? But now we're seeing prices spike for season two. What will they be when they add again in the future? Their LCS slot, those bids were like outrageous bids at the time to get those spots. So, I mean, you start, and then again, Call of Duty, they're going to have a leg up in terms of getting a franchising spot because they have the Optic brand, right? Like Call of Duty wants, of course they want them in there.
And I know, like I said, if you're buying them, you're also getting all the debt involved, that anything that they had on, and you, Lord knows there's enough debt in there. But they're also with their, like, the Overwatch League spot, they have to get rid of that, like, pretty much ASAP, because
but Immortals, they can sell it. How much money can they get back for a slot like that? Houston, too. It's not like it's a small city. Like,
no.
You, even if you're not getting what season one sold for $20 million. What were they selling for in season two? Like 30 and 35 million or some nonsense like that?
Yeah, somewhere up there.
Okay, so let's say you get somewhere in between there and not take a loss on this, but maybe, you know, you have to get rid of it quick, so there's some sort of discount in here. You would assume they're getting a good chunk of that money back just off of the sale of that one slot. Now, I don't know what Blizzard's involvement and all that would be and how that actually works, but at the end of the day, I feel like this was a really good investment for Immortals. Like, there's a lot of positives that come with the branding if you can trim the fat.
Right. And it's Immortals could also look like saviors here, right? Like, I know a lot of Optic fans are upset with how this whole went down, and like, you even have like the old Optic people making their own OG called the Old Guard.
There's all the content creators that were probably, you know, sadly, good ones, but you know, getting let go.
Well, and then even, and like, you have Nick, the Call of Duty team saying, like, we're not playing on another Optic Gaming unless it's owned by Hex, right? You have all these guys saying that. First off, all right, I'll believe it when I see it, right? If the paycheck's there, you really just going to be like, hey, man, Hex, I'm with you, buddy. And Hex is like, yeah, bro, I don't have any
money. I'm
going
to go to my $1 million house that I built in Frisco over here. Right. Sorry, guys.
I'll believe that when I see it. But if Immortals plays this right, they could really just act as a parent company for the brand Optic. Still have the Optic YouTube, right? Because that's where Hex posts his podcast. He's still involved. And they could go up to Hex and be like, look, dude, you are going to still be the face of Optic. You want to be the face of Optic? You are the face of Optic. You can make all the decisions for this branch, but you will be an employee of Immortals. And this, don't get it twisted, will be a branch of the Immortal brand, right? You don't have to have our logo anywhere. People won't know, but we're going to be there. We're going to be in the background. We're going to be collecting checks, right? This isn't charity. We did buy it outright, but we respect what you've done for esports. We respect the brand of Optic. And they could come in here as a white knight saying, look, guys, if it weren't for us, this thing would have been ran into the ground, and even more than what it had been.
Yeah. I mean, it would be smart for them to make sure you keep it as visible and as alive as you can. Otherwise, there's, you know, you don't want to lose that branding. There's just too much already there. I mean, you talk about 15 years of esports branding. It's hard to just buy in this industry. There's not many Optics that just go for sale. You don't see it. So fantastic investment opportunity for Immortals, I think. And I hope they I hope they do this right. I mean, that's where this will be fun to discuss 6 months from now and kind of see really what kind of turn this is taking and how it's evolving, whether that comes to COD esports or, you know, the resurgence of Halo to have Optic back into that scene, possibly under the Optic name, maybe versus the Immortals name. Like, how do they strategically do some of this? That's right. What I'm really interested to see.
Yeah. Josh asks in Twitch chat, do you think they could get along as business partners?
I think money solves a lot of problems, yeah. Man.
As like, business partners, yes, they could absolutely get along. As chummy buddies, no.
But, you know, Hex, like you said, can just based out of LA or based out of Dallas and do his own thing. He doesn't have to be, you know, in every meeting. And in fact, it could probably make his life a lot easier.
He could get the best of both worlds, right? Yeah. He wanted to step away from Optic and only was coming back when he heard that they were struggling. He probably was like, wait a minute, you guys said yes to TCR again and didn't show up? You think we could take this hit twice? And then he ran back to him and it was too late because TCR's curse got the grasp on Optic. And
curse.
It was done. We
need to find, who are we going to do it to next?
It was done. Oh, I have my list. Don't you worry. You think MIBR is out of the top 10 by mistake? You think that's my mistake?
Done. What did you do to Cloud9?
You know, that's on me. That's a different curse. What were we talking about? Optic? Hex?
Optic.
Oh, Hex could get the best of both worlds here because not only now does he not have to worry about being the boss as far as like the one who writes the checks and makes the big decisions, but he can also just run. He can be a manager of the content creation of Optic. He doesn't necessarily have to worry about the rosters and teams and making the players happy. That's still all on Immortals. They're the ones paying the checks. They're the ones writing them. He's just like, dude, I'm just a manager here. All right. Like, hey, I got to go talk to the higher ups.
You can be the godfather at this point, right?
Yeah. Like, I got to go
hang around and do what you want to do.
Yeah. I got to go talk to the higher ups and see, man, you know, I don't know. I don't know if you can get next week off. Let me go ask.
I'll go try.
So, yeah. I'll do my best, man. But you know. You know how they are upstairs, you know? So I'm with you. As much as I joke and Josh about Optic Gaming, it would be weird to have a world without Optic. Like,
yeah.
Call of Duty without Optic. I thought it was weird when they dropped their Halo team, right? Because it's just like, whoa, Optic not in a console scene? Like, what's going on here?
Like, there's games coming back that could be a great resurgence for Optic, and that'll, you know, maybe a good segue into our next segment here pretty soon. But we have, you know, Halo and Gears of War returning soon, both brands that Optic have so heavily invested in at one point, and for them to possibly making a resurgence, I mean, again, it's just more opportunity to use that Optic branding in a positive for yourself if you're Immortals.
Yep. So I guess only time will tell. I mean, like I said, it's still very early on in this transition where they bought them. But we'll get to kind of see what happens there.
Yeah.
And like I said, next week will even be a better discussion too, because, you know, there's been a couple articles posted on Kotaku and some other websites talking about how esports and the bubble is about to pop and how, you know, the industry as a whole is doing a poor job of learning how to monetize it, right? We have the popularity, but we don't know how to capitalize on that. So we're going to discuss that next week. So if you want to get involved in that discussion, hop in Twitch chat during the show. And we would love to kind of go off on that with you. But let's get into this next topic here, Anuj. You mentioned it with new games coming up. E3 started, I guess, officially today, but then depending on what schedule you're looking at, there was conferences yesterday, and it's E3 week.
Yesterday was the kickoff day, for sure. You know, yesterday was a lot of big announcements.
Right. So, obviously, we are an esports podcast, but we're also gamers at heart, right? That's how this all started. So we did want to take a couple minutes and talk about E3 for this week and possibly next. I mean, give us a break. It's 1 week of the year. As far as esports so far at E3 that I've noticed, kind of light. I remember last year there was a lot more like, oh, this could be something. Nothing really on, as far as I saw, the Master Chief Collection.
So they had it a live demo there for people to go play. So there's a lot of videos out there of people playing on PC, and you could kind of see how that whole setup looked. You could see the settings. You could actually watch people play, the field of view, things of that sort. So they did have it available for them to play there. They also made announcements that it's basically going to be $9.99, maybe it's $14.99 for each version of the game, except for ODST, which will be $4.99. So when you combine all of it together,
it's multiplayer, right?
Yeah, it's like basically it comes out to $60 for the whole collection by the time it's all done and released. I think it's going to be short iterations between them. I don't think they mentioned that it would be too long in between each game actually coming out. And from rumors and stuff that I've read, it sounds like we're getting a beta here fairly soon, and this should go live by September in the sense of actually getting to buy it. And you can go on Steam and see that there now. So a little bit of talk there, but they really focused on Infinite.
It showed a little, what's the word I'm looking for? Cinematic?
Cinematic, yeah.
Cinematic?
For
it's
Infinite?
Getting late, man. Yeah, for Infinite.
Yeah, so that was really cool.
Got a little goosebumps going on.
I tweeted this out earlier. I'm still really disappointed we didn't get a gameplay trailer for it. Like, okay, another year has gone by. We know the game is now releasing with Xbox Scarlet, which is going to be their new Xbox system, 120 FPS and 4K, 8K gaming or whatever they said that they're going to have available on it. It's going to be the release title for that, so you can expect that holiday 2020.
Which was always assumed. I think everyone from day one because last year they revealed it, but it was only a tech demo, and everyone was like, okay, we know where this is going then. If you're doing a tech demo on Halo, this isn't to reveal like Xbox One at the end of the life cycle.
No, for sure. And so that'll be a release title, but still so exciting to just see a little bit more Halo, right? We know we're going to get to play some of it soon. It'll lead up to Infinite. So that was kind of the big bang from Microsoft in that sense.
Yep. I'm excited for that. I saw this on Twitter. Again, I'm at work throughout the day and stuff, so I'm in and out of E3, and I didn't get time to really catch up on everything. Roller Challenge, what is this?
So that's a game by Ubisoft. Think of it like it almost really, I got to play it briefly today. I downloaded it right after the conference because it went into alpha and it was available on Uplay for all of y'all to go and try right now. So go check it out if you get a chance. It's basically a 3-on-3 roller derby game that reminded me almost of like a Rocket League kind of setup. It involves a game where you're taking a ball. There's a course you're kind of going around. Each lap that you're holding the ball in your hand counts as 1 point. And if you throw it into a hoop, that's how you actually get the point. So you have to make a full lap to get 1 point. Okay. Two full laps gets you 3 points. Three full laps gets you 5 points. If you get 5 points for the game, you win. Got to throw it into a hoop, and you can knock people out, pass the ball, gain speed and different little boost abilities. Again, Rocket League-esque, I kind of see where they're going with it. I don't see it having a huge future, but it is, fun to maybe go check out and, get on with
your
friends.
What is it, 3-on-3?
3-on-3.
I'm always interested in games like this because obviously they're, going towards the whole competitive scene, the esports scene. I think is every game now is going towards that. But with this one, it's easy for everyone to understand, right? Like, even if it's like your buddies who don't watch esports, like, I think that's why Rocket League is so popular as far as spectating goes, because you don't have to know. Like, when we were at DreamHack, our friend Cassie, who we play games with, she doesn't play Rocket League and she doesn't really do anything competitive. She's an RPG single player type of gamer. And yet she was still enjoying watching Rocket League because she's like, oh, this is great. Like, the ball goes in the net. Like,
easy
I get
enough,
it.
Right?
I get it. And you can still recognize talent. So I think, we'll see. We'll see. It all depends on how that goes. Ubisoft is behind it, so you at least know it's going to have some AAA support, possibly. Did they show anything for Battalion? Do you have that in the notes?
Yeah, so Square Enix is going off right now.
I always forget Battalion is with Square Enix.
Yeah, so they did a little, demo type display here. It was more of a trailer with highlight scenes and a very COD-esque kind of trailer that they showed there. And again, they're partnered up with Faceit. They're actually, we talked about this a few weeks ago of which of these esports do we see have the best chance? I think we both picked Battalion to do that. I also think we kind of tempered our expectations, but they're doing well right now. Mm-hmm. They're seeing, I think the Faceit integration is huge for them because that makes life so much easier. There's a ranking system right off the bat. That's one thing we complain about most games we play is, man, just have like some sort of ranking system. Like, why can't you do that? And so they have it from day one and really put an esports focus into that game. So again, just another game to track and follow and kind of see where that goes. But they did have their own little trailer here. Ubisoft, again, was yesterday. They announced, you know, this is a continuation of Rainbow Six, something that blows my mind again, you know, over and over again. I've mentioned this. It's one of those games where it's just hard to believe that they started off weak and it just continued to gain popularity. And a lot of that is just developer support. They've continued to support the game. They've now announced a standalone game called Quarantine, Rainbow Six Quarantine, using the operators. That's going to be a three-player co-op game. And you'll actually go in and do missions with the same operators that you see and play with in the multiplayer version of the game. So, again, a nice little take on just bringing the game more to life, right? And attracting another audience to maybe come and try the co-op, who then, even if they don't play the multiplayer version of the game, know the game, understand, you know, the characters in the game and kind of what's going on when you watch it from a competitive level. So just good to see them continue to support that game. It doesn't look like they're coming out with a new version of that game anytime soon.
Which is what you need to do, right? I feel like developers have kind of pumped the brakes on, we got to get new games out all the time, minus, you know, Call of Duty and stuff, where it's like, go the Valve route, right? Where it's like, look, just update Dota 2 into the next engine or something. Do a graphics update, yeah. Do all this, change the UI or whatever, right? Pretty much change what the game was from when it first started, but still you're not losing that player base. You're not making people restart all the way over. Or anything like that. Counter-Strike, they've done it very well. They've, you know, when they added Wingman, they've added the BR game mode, the UI, all those graphic updates, updating player models, things like that. Not at E3, but like the rumors of BlizzCon and Overwatch 2, right? And everyone's like, what is this? Like, is this better be code for the graphics update or something? Like, there's no way you're coming out with Overwatch 2, Blizzard, but we'll save that for BlizzCon. We don't have it on our list, but was it whenever EA did theirs? I guess that was yesterday. They revealed more on the Apex roadmap. Yep. So we played a little bit yesterday and enjoyed it. You know, I think that might have been just because we had time away from the game and started playing it again. But it does show that they are caring about it still enough to bring it up at E3. So if you're bringing it up at E3, clearly you care enough about it.
New character announcement. The ranked mode is coming out next month. So I think the ranked mode will be huge. Again, just having a ranking system in a game and being able to play against players at your skill level and feeling some sort of advancement is huge to be a true esport in my mind. You got to have that in your game. And so I know they've added the Apex Elite Queue, which you and I took advantage of several times yesterday. Again, got to enjoy that with you. So that was a lot of fun. But a rank mode to me is
easy queue. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Just too good, Tim. Too good. But yeah, the ranked mode and the new character release, I think, are huge. I'm still hoping to see a new map. I think that's really going to help that game evolve in its space. But definitely a good start there. Any outside of esports favorites or disappointments, you know, that caught your eye?
Yeah. So as we said at the start of the show, my wife and I are expecting September 1st is the due date. At my full-time job, I'm very lucky to get 4 months off, which is very uncommon here in the States. It's like I'm like one out of like four companies in the whole country that do it for how big of we are. So it's very cool. With that being said, yes, I understand I will have a child. I don't need people explaining this to me. But as I also explained to them, I've already volunteered to take the night shift. I'm not doing this whole messing with my sleep schedule every week. I'm just going to take the night shift for 4 months. So that's also going to come with a lot of insomnia and a lot of times to play a game as everyone is asleep. So I definitely need some single-player games in my life starting in September. As Josh said in Twitch chat, I will agree, the new Star Wars game, we'll definitely be playing that.
Also a Respawn game, makers of Apex, and so for sure, couldn't agree with you more.
I like that it looks linear. I am not one for open world. I get very distracted and I'll never finish an open world game. But if it's a linear and I can follow the story, I think that's where... So because everything Star Wars, ever since Disney bought it, is officially part of the lore. I'm a big Star Wars nerd, so I care about the lore and if it makes sense. The gameplay looks good, but ultimately I think that one's going to come down to the story for a lot of people. Like if the story's dumb... because this looks like it happens before Rogue One, then I think it's going to bother a lot of people just from a lore continuity standpoint. But again, it's Star Wars, so I'm going to love
it. This is like right after the Jedi are fallen, have all fallen, right?
Right.
Like this is so.
It's like in between Episodes 3 and Rogue One.
Yeah, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be great. I mean, I'm super stoked for that game. The gameplay looked good from what I saw. I know the movement's going to be good if it's a Respawn game. Between Titanfall and Apex, they've proven themselves in that category. And I mean, it's Star Wars. I'm like that with you, man. I'm just a nerd when it comes to Star Wars. So I'm going to love it. I'm going to play it. That's going to be a day one buy for me to just hop in, sit back and
what other? I mean, enjoy. Because I know
Cyberpunk, man.
You and me though are in general we're not really day one buyers. Like we don't have to get day one, especially single player. Multiplayer, maybe, sure.
Multiplayer, I'll get in because I don't want to miss out.
Right.
You know, when single I know players, I can play
2 years down the road, I'll pick up that Game of the Year edition for $20.
Yeah, like Witcher. Like, thank you. You know, that was like perfect for me.
Yeah.
With the Game of the Year edition. But yeah, Star Wars for me, day one buy. I think another day one buy for me. There was three day one buys that I have in my head, which I'm shocked. That's a lot for me for single player games because I usually don't finish most of my single player games. Just brutal truth. You know, I make it to a certain point. I've enjoyed it. I've got my money out of it. I'm happy.
Yeah,
like,
good. All right.
It was good.
YouTube Cyberpunk. The ending. Good to
exactly,
go.
Exactly.
I've done that a few times.
I feel
which
happy
is probably
with
it. Like to single player people is like gaming sacrilege. But I have definitely played halfway through games and thought, man, this is a lot of fun and the story's great. But I'm kind of done doing it myself, so I'll Google a summary of it. I'm like, no
or
way.
Watch a streamer finish it off or
done.
Something. You know.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Cyberpunk looked fantastic. We're seeing a little bit more gameplay there. The story looks great. I have a
Made
lot
by
of
CG
trust
Project
in
Project Red. You mentioned The yep. Witcher. So that
like
helps
they, these guys
that.
Know what they're doing and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And then Keanu Reeves coming on stage, like what a cool moment. Dude, you know, he's so well respected within
so
all
weird,
communities,
though.
You know, and it's like he's an oddball guy, but a good dude. And you kind of know that if you just look up anything on Keanu Reeves on YouTube, the guy's genuinely like a good person.
Just a nice
and
guy.
He came out, he was super pumped. He's a character in the game. I'm hyped. I'm actually hyped for that one. I think, again, that'll be a fun game. I think it's going to look gorgeous. I love that
right.
type of vapor setting that they have it in, futuristic, you know, biomech. I mean, it just looks cool to me. So definitely excited for that one.
What's the other one? Oh, we were just watching it before we started the stream.
Yep.
Final Fantasy VII Remake. I think out of everything, those are going to be it's Star Wars, and that will be day one buys for me. We were talking beforehand. It's crazy watching the Final 7 remake and then thinking to myself, like, this is exactly what it looked like 20 years ago when I played it. You know, like in my head, this is exactly what I imagined the game looking. And now I go back and play it. And I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Like,
I can't even.
What was wrong
what
with
is going on right now?
It hurts to go back and try and play it right now. It really like kind of
hurts
a little
bit. You lose that imagination as a child, right? The child imagination that could turn anything into a beautiful piece of work. But no, I cannot wait for that. I like that the gameplay is real time, but also they found interesting ways. I guess you're just gonna have to look it up, but it's like you go in slow mo and that's how you can
this
kinda
tactical mode where after you've like accumulated enough power then you can use an ability which almost makes it feel turn-based like we had it, but not really, like it's still real time.
Right.
So again, a really cool take on that. I'm excited for that. I wish it wasn't episodic. I don't know what word I'm
looking for. Oh, is that how they're doing that?
They're releasing it in episodes. It's not going to be like one full release.
So I must have muted the
stream
by then.
Yeah, so it is. And they announced this over a year ago, too. So this has at least been known. But that, you know, again, they kind of went into that again. It will be like released in episodes. So you're not
going to. Well, then I lied. I'm going to wait for all to come out and then I'll.
Will you, though? What if the next one's like 4 years away?
Well, then I'll probably wait for it.
They announced this in 2015. Like, I want to make you get it with me just so we can talk about it while we're playing.
All right. Fair enough.
It looked good enough.
I like the direction that Microsoft is going, where it seems like they're really going to push a PC release for all of their games.
Yeah.
It does seem like this year there's a lot of PC releases in general, though. Like, most years it's like, nope, this is an Xbox exclusive, this is a PS4 exclusive, or vice versa. And then I feel like this year Xbox has learned, like, we're still going to come out with a next-gen console, but we're also going to acknowledge the fact that we have lost the exclusive battle between Sony. Like, we just can't compete with their exclusives. So we're going to also put our exclusives on PC.
And Sony won't be able to compete with that.
Exactly. And that's
especially
where they're
going to one up. Especially with the Game Pass is available. Like, they've redone the whole store to where you have access to the Game Pass now on PC as well, and all the titles.
Five.
So if you, for listeners out there, it's $1 this month. So if you don't have Game Pass and you got a PC and play on there, you can go get the Game Pass for $1 this month and try it out. I think Sony not being there was a little bit of a killer for me. It hurt because Xbox really had to come through, and I think Xbox put on a good show. I don't think it blew me away necessarily because nothing is right around the corner.
But
like,
isn't it hard to
stuff.
Say when there's like nothing there to compete, right? Because Nintendo's always its own thing. Like, Nintendo is tomorrow, and I'm a very I have a love-hate relationship with Nintendo, but all I'm looking forward there is Pokemon anyways. Like, just don't screw up the new Pokemon games and you'll make me happy. I really don't care about anything else. I'm not expecting I don't think anyone is expecting anything else this year from Nintendo. Like, they're not going to announce anything new, I don't think. So just show us Animal Crossing, show us Pokemon, and everyone will be happy.
Whatever other, you know, they'll throw some other stuff in there. It'll be cool. It'll be, you know, great. Right. You know, so, but yeah, Sony
maybe
not being there.
More on Metroid.
Was a bummer for me. So, you know, I'm kind of done with, I think, my console buying days personally, especially after what I've, you know, just put into my new build here. Like, I'm probably not going to buy a console again. So for me to see Xbox making this push between collaboration between console and PC is like a huge win.
Right.
I could be tied to that and still feel like I have a console tie because I'm not missing out on everything. I just don't play enough console to buy it for like one game anymore. It's just not worth the $300-$500 investment that you're going to see these next gen consoles be.
I'm kind of in that same boat. I've always used to be a Xbox guy, and then I went over to the PS4, didn't get the Xbox One, and now it's like I got the PS4 day one, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do it. I waited a year and a half to get a Switch. I love my Switch, but again, Nintendo's just different. You know, it's like, it's portable. I use it as like my Game Boy at this point, right? So it's just going
it's
on
become.
A trip and everything.
I travel, I take
the
it
Switch
with
is
me.
Great. So it's different. You do have Stadia coming out, which is the Google's new gaming thing. I don't really.
Yeah, it's streaming services. So it's their streaming services. You'll be able to pay a monthly sub fee, basically, have access to a variety of games and other games that you can purchase directly on there, stream them at, you know, 15, 20 megabytes down. You don't need a ton to be able to stream these at like 60 FPS, and you can play it on a $300 computer if you wanted to. And I think that's retailing around $149. If you buy it right now, it comes with a controller and a Google Play stick or whatever you need to be able to access it. So it's just more availability for gamers, and that's what this became about. I thought that that was more the core of this E3, was like connecting gamers, right? You could be a gamer anywhere,
cross-platform, doesn't matter. We're all getting along at this point.
Like, let's all be friends. And so Sony was, again, the buzzkill there and not being involved with that. But from what we saw, I thought Stadia is, I think it's fantastic. Again, you know, for somebody that doesn't have the ability to go drop $2,000 on a high-end computer, this is a way for you right. to still be able to play these games at, you know, great quality and in the comfort of your home.
It's not my thing, but again, I'm not the target market, right? There's clearly a target market for Stadia and all that cloud gaming, right? All that streaming. When I have a console, I still go out to the store and get a hard copy disc. You know, I prefer having the hard copy when it comes to a console and everything. So
I think we'll see just a streaming console version next year for them as an available item too.
Well, the like Xbox is already doing that.
They already have one? Yeah.
The Xbox already has a discless. It doesn't even have a slot. So, I mean, you can't even watch DVDs or anything on it. DVDs.
I love it, though. You know, again, you just Blu-rays. More options, a little bit cheaper. You know, like it's all a win. So they're finding ways to stay innovative in that space. Right.
So I think that's where Stadia comes into play. Now, will Google see a return on investment?
My problem is all the options that we're going to have now. Right. Within the street. Like you're going to have to buy that, but then you need to buy the Uplay Plus, or you need to buy the Origin Gaming Pass.
It's kind of like how Netflix started, right? Like Netflix was amazing because at first you're like, dude, I have Netflix. I have everything I need. Everything. Right? And then all of a sudden you see these shows and other networks pull their shows off of Netflix. And you're like, wait, what's happening to all my Fox TV shows? Oh, now they're going to Hulu? Okay, well, I guess I'll get Hulu. Wait a minute. Where's all the Disney shows? No, now this is on Disney Plus. And then you end up having as many services as you did with cable anyways.
Now I'm canceling all my streaming services. I'm like, just give me cable back. Right. Cable had everything.
was easier. It was just easier. I don't have to think about it. And I feel like gaming is also going to hit that corner where you're like, look, dude, I don't need Origin Plus and Ubisoft, whatever, and Stadia and Xbox
Pass, I just buy the games I want to buy at this point in my life.
I don't care if it's $60 for one game and it's $60 for 100, right? Just give me my one game and I'm okay with it. But again,
my Steam library will tell you that's the way I should be doing it. Exactly. I just buy the game I want. I buy all these other stupid games, never even play 90% of them. So I'm okay with just buying the one I want at this point.
So I don't know. I guess the beauty of it is that you do have options for how you're out there. The one thing I would also question though is just, you know, with some of these streaming services, even though your computer and stuff doesn't have to be as good, sometimes the monitor though still matters. So just look at the specs first. The reason I say that is because our buddy tried to do a cloud-based service for DreamHack, so he didn't have to drag his computer out because it's all wall-mounted and fancy-looking, and he didn't want to take it off the wall. So he was like, I'll just bring my crappy laptop and play off of that and use a cloud-based service to play games on. Well, the issue is like, in order to get the cloud-based service working, you need a 144-hertz monitor still. So even though you're like, oh, I don't have the money or I don't have the stuff for this, sometimes you might have to get something. Still, though, way cheaper than like a $4,000 complete rebuild of everything. So to each their own, I guess, is the bottom line for this. And, you know, we'll see. E3 still isn't over, though. Maybe we'll touch on some things next week in E-News or something like that. But
Nintendo will maybe do a whole eSports segment. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, they had their eSports champion, I think, just this weekend. That's all running together now, but I think they just had it. Didn't really matter because whatever, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, speaking of E-News, let's get to that, shall we? Not a whole lot happened because remember we did a show just on Thursday, so as far as like little stuff happening, not a lot. In Overwatch League, you had Stage 3 started after like what, a month and a half or so break, in my opinion, from a spectating point of view, way too long. Maybe the players loved it because, you know, they could go home to Europe or Korea or China or wherever they're from. But I think even some of the players were saying like, all right, like kind of messed with my flow. Like, let's get back into it.
Let's go.
Yeah. So I think you're going to see some changes for next year. I don't think this was the right way to do it. Almost an upset. Houston went to map 5 against New York. Almost an upset. That would have been huge if Houston beat NYXL, but they didn't, so at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. One thing I noticed this week I don't know what it is. Maybe it was the long break. Maybe it's just me overanalyzing everything. The players in the Overwatch League look bored out of their minds. And I know a lot of them are sick of the GOATs meta, and even though not everything is GOATs anymore, right? There is some maps, whatever. But, dude, the players are begging for a 2-2-2 meta rule. Everyone, spectators are begging for it. You have a handful of people that aren't, and then you have Blizzard saying no. But I have been preaching this for a long time, and I remember getting called out on certain forums on Reddit saying, like, 2-2-2, you can't do that. That will change the game. No, it won't. It will make it exciting. It will add DPS back in the game. It will actually add a skill curve, right? Like, right now, no one's touching Vancouver, and I think the players are bored with that. Like, I think they're already, like, we're midway through the season, and we know how this is going to go.
Like, we know it. We can see what's happening here.
Yeah,
like you said it wouldn't change the game. It would change the game. We just think it would change it for the better. You know, like, the 2-2-2 format will change the game, but in ways that we think will improve the quality of the game. So, I don't know. I think they're a little hesitant to make that big of a change mid-season. Like, that almost seems like if we're going to do that, that would be a season 3 announcement and a way to kind of kick off a new season versus, like, I mean, that would just completely...
The thing is, I think the reason that some of the players are bummed, because if there was a time to do it, this...
It would have been now, right?
It would have been now, right? It does... Because that way you could at least say, look, you did half a season this way and the second half was this way. Now it's like, hey, you're stage 4 and you're doing that, so you're playing a quarter.
Didn't they do that last year? Stage 4, they had a big meta change, and that's where NYXL kind of started to slip up a little bit
more. But see, those were patches, which is a little different, right? Like, they want to keep up with the patch to where people are playing it, so they try their best. It wasn't like a rule change. It was just a balance update. Yeah. Little different, right? Like, you know, a little less out of their control in that sense. But either way, I mean, seriously, like, some of the players, man, on, was it Thursday? The Dallas Fuel got swept.
Yeah.
And, dude, it's like they looked like they were about to go to sleep. Their opponents looked like they were about to go to sleep. Like, you guys just 4-0'd a team. Like, let's see someone pop off. Let's see some excitement. Like, wake up.
Or on the flip, like, other end, let's see somebody get a little pissed. You
right,
know?
Like, just like, throw your mouse. Do something, man. Like, you know me, I get hyped. Like, I want to get hyped, but these players are putting me to sleep. In Battle Royale news, the Fortnite World Cup, we could just throw this in tier 2, and Apex Legends, both are having their own little tournaments here and there, obviously with the World Cup and Fortnite continuing going on. Both having issues, though, with whether it be hackers, cheaters, in the sense of people trying to bend the rules and get around things. So
Fortnite allowed people that were cheating, that they caught cheating, they allowed them to continue, like, play in this tournament and advance through. So they're like in the next round, they were caught cheating and kind of put on like disciplinary action, and obviously
don't,
they're
do
not
that
gonna cheat again. But they've already like advanced, and so just a bad look. And we know cheating is in games. You have to deal with it properly when you're catching it, though. You know, even if you can't prevent it, you got to have a hard...
Well, especially like with these battle royales where it's like, you know, 100 people in one room, right? And a lot of these are like the way Fortnite does it, and even Apex, right? They do it like, if you've ever seen a Code Red tournament or a Twitch Rival tournament, they're all on normal servers. And then it's just whoever gets the best scores in those servers and everything like that. I think if you're going to have these, you can get private servers on them if you talk to the right people and whatnot. And I think even in Fortnite now, you just can do it. There's enough pros on here to where you can make a private server and have an actual tournament. I don't know if it's too much planning on their part or whatnot, but I mean, come on, BR games. Like, you want to be everyone there. Battle Royale games are the butt of the joke when it comes to the esports community. Like, dare I say, even more of a joke than the mobile scene. And yet, like, this is why. Like, you have your chance to be taken serious. You're finally starting to have these tournaments, and yet this happens. Like,
look at Brax. He's banned for life still. These guys were just caught cheating a week ago, and they're still, like, push through next round. Let's go, baby.
Like, hey, man, just don't do that again. And but you're good now. You're good. Don't do that again. Don't do that again. It's just ridiculous. In other news, you have the University of North Texas. Holla. Go Mean Green. That's my alma mater. Offers a $20,000 scholarship in Overwatch, Rocket League, League of Legends, and Hearthstone. Pretty cool. They're not the first. We've seen colleges do this, but yeah. I thought it was pretty cool to see my school do it. Once again, proving that if I just wasn't so committed to graduating and I just stayed in for like 10 more years,
we would have been golden.
I would have been somebody else.
You would have been the manager of the team by now.
Yeah. Just if only those opportunities were there for me. This was nuts. Puerto Rico announced that they are hosting First Attack, which is a fighting game tournament with Street Fighters and whatnot, in October. Announced by a video with the governor of Puerto Rico and like his family around him.
It's pretty cool.
Is that not bonkers? Like, could you imagine like Trump announcing like the CSGO major or something like that? Like, that's nuts. I was like,
dude,
okay.
How badass would that be? Trump announcing the CSGO major.
Like, that'd be insane. Just for that, like, having the government recognition in a positive way, right? Not denying visas or saying no.
They understand, again, the type of growth that this is going to continue to see. So it's cool to see a country investing in it in that sense.
Yep. The Mango was this past weekend, which is, of course, Mango's tournament for Super Smash Brothers. In the Melee side, S2J defeated... I'm not going to lie. I don't even know how to say this kid's name. Maki? Moki? M-O-K-Y. Moki. How would you say that?
Moki.
Moki, right? He's newer, at least to me. Like, again, I follow the top eights. You know, when it's a big tournament, I'll watch. But as far as these, like, guys that... The Mango isn't like a... Like, don't quote me on this, but there's a rule that if you're out of a certain rank, you can't play in it. Like, if you're too high up in the ranks, you can't play in his tournament. It's supposed to be benefiting the lower side of the scene,
cool,
which is great.
That.
Yeah. The reason, though, I bring that up here, though, is because Moki also ended up qualifying for Smash Summit for Melee, which is this weekend, which is awesome. We've talked about summits before. CS Summit was just a couple weeks ago. They're always the best, but Melee is always the best one out there because the guys are just...
Melee is like the one.
Yes. To me, it's what started getting into the Summit tournaments and events. So be sure and watch that. That's always fun. And we can't go... it seems like a week without discussing this, but Intel is in talks with the International Olympic Committee... as far as the potential of introducing esports to the Olympics. Anuj, your thoughts?
I don't want to see it in there. I mean, I would like to see some sort of world tournament maybe held by like an overseen esports organization, but I don't want to see it tied directly to the Olympics. I don't know. That's not what the Olympics are to me, and I'm as big of an esports fan as they come. Like, I just don't think of like esports when I think of Olympics. So I prefer to see the separation there. Also, I think the Olympic body is like one of the most corrupt bodies sports. Why get involved with them? Like, go do your own thing. And
I agree.
I don't think we need them. Like, I just don't think esports needs the Olympics either.
If you want to do your own thing, that's fine. I think it's so weird that esports is so anti-outside world, and yet it seems like this is the one that everyone needs to have to validate esports as like a real thing. And I've never understood it. I've talked about it on this podcast before. I don't want to see the esports in the Olympics for a number of reasons. Also called me old school. But you know, look, bros, we're playing video games, you know? We're not jumping off ramps and doing flips or...
Going 100 miles an hour down a mountain.
Yeah,
like,
running 100 like miles across the country. It's different. Like, let's be real. Like, I get it, man. I'm not anti-gaming or anti-esports. Obviously, we host this podcast. But we're also, like, I think real enough to acknowledge the fact that, like, it's different. Yeah. It's different. But Lord knows this will be, we could put this on E! News every darn week if we really wanted
to. Give me
to.
An eSports Olympics. That's what I would love to see.
Yeah.
And I, it's its own cool. event and its own thing. I would love it. But yeah, not here.
Nope. I think that's it. Great show, Anuj.
It was.
A great show to the listener. You did a fantastic job. I really appreciate it. But that will just about do it for this episode of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 161 is done. It's in the books. Thank you again for listening. If you skipped around, appreciate it all the same. If you listen to the whole thing, you're a madman. I love you. We will be back next week. Same time as always, Mondays around 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. We will discuss the esports bubble popping and why does esports have an issue with monetizing as a whole. Take it from two older guys in the scene. We've been around a long time, and I think we can have a good perspective on this as far as where it was when we competed back over 10 years ago, right? 2011, 12, what it looked like back then and what it is to now. So we will talk about that next week. Be sure and follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Thank you for everyone involved in our Twitch chat tonight. Made the show a lot of fun. But again, we will be back next Monday to talk some esports with you. For Anuj, I'm Tim. We'll see ya.